Sisters and brothers in Christ. Tonight we're looking at a couple of the parables of the kingdom of God, the ones that I just read to you from the gospel passage. Now, a parable is something that we don't necessarily encounter very much these days, although I do have a bit of an idea about the place that we most often find parables, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So, what is a parable? A parable is basically a story. And often it's a story that puts one thing alongside another thing. And the word parabole actually literally means to throw beside. So if you throw this thing alongside this thing, something happens. And Jesus loved to tell parables. In fact, the gospel accounts tell us that Jesus most often taught the crowds using parables. Why on earth would Jesus do that? Why use stories? Well, we resonate with stories. Jesus did not preach to the crowds in dot points of theological disposition. He told stories. They were life-connected stories. And what a story does is it has the power, like the seed that Jesus talks about in this parable, it has the power to get planted in our mind and to grow in various different ways. And some stories will strike some people particularly and others not so much. For instance, I'm a farm boy. I grew up near where Fiona comes from, actually. In the Wimmera. So when Jesus talks about a farmer planting grain and the harvest, I really get it. But I'm not a gardener. But my wife is a gardener, and so when Jesus talks about planting a herb seed, a mustard seed, in the garden, my wife really gets it. The other point about stories, though, is that they connect with our life. They're like a kind of a window or a back door for God's truth to get in. Life is not linear. It doesn't fall into neat dot points. You can't look up the index for your life and go, well, this is what I'm going to learn next. It doesn't work that way. And Jesus, being a master teacher that he was, knew that stories are one of the most powerful ways to convey truth. What else are parables? Parables are ordinary and earthy. They're not supernatural stories. They're not spooky. Jesus is talking about a man planting seeds. He's talking about a little bush that's growing in a garden. Things that were part of everyday experience for the people around him. That's really interesting too. It means that God is at work in the ordinary, earthy ways of our lives, in the things that don't necessarily seem to be really imbued with the presence of God. God is at work here. Something is happening. And finally, often Jesus' parables have a mysterious and unexpected twist. You should always look for what is unexpected. What jumps out at you and you go, hang on, that's not how I expected this story to turn out. So that's a brief introductory word about parables. We hear in Mark chapter 4, verse 33 and 34 that Jesus didn't say anything to people without using a parable. He always used stories. What about the kingdom of God? This kind of maybe hard to define, hard to pin down thing that Jesus is talking about. The kingdom of God is not just about going to heaven when we die. The kingdom of God is actually the rule and the reign of God in everyday life, right now, right here, on this planet, in our daily lives. And the small catechism of Martin Luther, in the explanation for this petition of the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come, Luther says this: to be sure, the kingdom of God comes of itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may also come to us. This happens when the Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we may believe his holy word and live a godly life both here in time and hereafter forever. you are hearing the word of God, which you are right now, surprisingly enough, then the kingdom of God is at work within you. If you are growing in faith in Jesus, then you are deeply involved in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is coming in your life in ways that we're going to get into a little bit further into the sermon. A very quick break. Where do we see parables today? Where does something get put beside something else in order to lodge in our mind and to implant a powerful idea? It's in advertising. Advertising puts this thing next to this thing and just lets them sit there and do their work in your mind. Deodorant with fast cars and beautiful women puts them together. Doesn't necessarily explain it. A housing loan with security and family and fulfillment. That's where we see parables at work. The advertisers know, not specifically that Jesus was onto something, but that a story is often the most powerful way to sell us something. So let's have a specific look at these two short parables that Jesus tells here in Mark chapter 4. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is like a seed that a man planted in the ground, which sprouted and grew all by itself. The stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." The parable of the growing seed. The seed, Jesus says just earlier in this chapter, in Mark 4 verse 14, is the word of God. Jesus tells the parable called the parable of the sower. He says, "The farmer sows the word." The seed is the word of God. God's good news at work through Jesus. The seed of the kingdom of God is the good news that through Jesus you are forgiven and loved and accepted by God, not because of anything that you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. The seed is the good news that we heard when Adrian read out that we have been reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The seed is the good news of Jesus at work in our lives, turning us from God's enemies into God's friends. And we don't have to do anything to receive that seed. The word is being proclaimed. We need to just sit there like the ground sits there and receive it. The good news of what God is doing for you through Jesus. The man planted the seed in the ground, and you might think, yeah, that's pretty obvious. You know, where else do you plant a seed? But this word ground is the same word as earth or dirt. And that suggests to me that the kingdom of God is at work in the everyday, ordinary stuff of our lives. Even the yucky bits. Even the dirt. A seed cannot grow without dirt. And as we have shared our stories with each other in our missional communities, we have seen that God has been at work through a person's story all the way through. Even the really difficult bits. Even through the sin and the rebellion and the suffering and the really hard times. God plants his word in the dirt of our lives, the ordinary everyday stuff. And he takes that ordinary everyday stuff and even the yucky bits and uses it to do something transformative with us. Like a seed that is planted in the dirt and grows. It's just this amazing, mysterious kind of process, and we don't know how it happens. So it might be tempting to think that God's not at work in the yucky bits. But the kingdom of God is planted right there in the dirt of your life. It sprouted and grew. I love this. This is a time-lapse video of a growing seed. Just watch this transformation as it happens. it's mind-blowing, it's gobsmacking. It's like, how does that tiny little thing do all this stuff? Where does that all come from? How does it know to turn dirt and water and carbon dioxide and sunshine through that tiny little seed into a plant? It's mysterious and transforming. And it's very much like the transforming power of God's good news at work in you. You don't know how it happens. Sometimes it seems like there's no growth, or there's mess, or there's noise. But that seed is at work, God is at work, growing something new in you through his goodness. The text actually says that the ground automatically produces good fruit, good seed. It's in the seed's DNA to do this stuff. And it's in your DNA as a person who belongs to God through baptism that God is at work transforming you and producing growth in your life. My wife pointed out something important. When a seed is growing, you don't constantly go back to the garden bed and uncover it to look at how it's going. If you do that, you tend to damage it and it doesn't necessarily grow as well as it should. It's the same with our Christian faith. We don't have to go back and keep looking at it and go, how is it growing? Is it growing, God? Can I see a shoot there yet? No. All we have to do is focus on God himself, on the good news and on the good word that he has given to us. We don't need to be introspective and introverted about it and worry about whether God is at work. He is. He is. The stalk and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear. The second parable is like this. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted in the ground, which is the smallest of seeds that you plant, but grows to be the largest of all garden plants. I wonder if you can spot what's unexpected here. We'll get to that. A mustard seed, they're pretty tiny. They're not exactly the smallest things in the whole world, but they're pretty small. Jesus, in Matthew 17, says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, it doesn't matter how big it is, it's got transformative power within it. And it grows into something much bigger and more productive than what you could ever imagine if you just looked at that tiny little seed. It's small. Sometimes our faith is tiny. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes it feels like all we can do is cling on to Jesus and pray, Lord, have mercy. That's all I've got. And that's okay. Because it's still the transformative power of God's good news at work in our lives. But it grows. Yes, it grows. Hooray. To what? The largest of all garden plants, isn't that a bit disappointing? Why can't it be a giant tree? Come on, Jesus. Isn't the kingdom of God meant to be spectacular? Well, no. Maybe not, says Jesus. This is, I think, a picture of about the largest that a mustard plant can possibly get. And, you know, it's kind of mildly impressive, but it's not super awesome. And you're going, well, wouldn't the kingdom of God be spectacular? No, not necessarily. But Jesus says, so the birds can come and nest in its branches. It's not about us. The kingdom of God grows for the sake of others. And when we have faith in our hearts and when we're hearing the gospel, then good things will happen for other people without us even necessarily being aware of them, and certainly without them being incredibly spectacular. The kingdom of God is like a story that Jesus told that planted itself in our minds and quietly worked away there, doing its thing, bringing transformation, helping us to believe in Jesus, helping us to recognize that even in the dirt of our lives, God is at work. The rule and reign of God in everyday life. That's what the kingdom of God is like. As we hear the good news of what God does for us in Jesus, it brings transformation and growth and fruitfulness. I pray that today and every day, the good news of God, the good news of Jesus, will be quietly growing, powerfully transforming your life, bringing good things for others. In Jesus' name, amen.